It was really a day of attempted clean-ups in Brisbane today. While more than 4,000 homes were being repaired as a result of the storms on Sunday afternoon, ABC Learning had a creditors' meeting, getting together, I understand, in a Brisbane restaurant. And being the unassuming Clark Kent-type character that he is, Stephen Mayne managed to infiltrate his way into proceedings. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Lindy. How are you?
Good. How did you go?
Good, actually. I got on the creditors' committee in the end.
So you got onto the creditors' committee?
Yeah, so representing, I'm a small note holder, a small shareholder. So, yeah, they put together a 15-strong creditors' committee involving, you know, obviously the Commonwealth Bank, Morgan Stanley, the federal government, the union, so all the various parties who are clambering to share in or comprise $1.66 billion of liabilities, who are trying to salvage something from the wreck of ABC Learning, and it's going to be a pretty messy process.
I can imagine, because I'm of the understanding, and most of this has come from you, that there's not really that much there to share around.
Well, clearly they've blown up about $3 billion of equity. There's 40% of the US business, which is worth something, although Morgan Stanley, which owns 60% of the US business, today signalled at the meeting that they were reserving their right to sue for misleading and deceptive conduct. So clearly even the party that bought control of ABC Learning's US business is unhappy. There is the UK business to sell off. There's a smallish New Zealand business. And then there's the 1,040 Australian centres to sell. But I think the key message today, particularly from the receiver, Chris Honey, was he was almost pleading with parents to continue supporting ABC Learning centres. And I think what's happened is that the whole publicity around the receivership and Julia Gillard's coming out and saying 40% of the centres are losing money, people have just left in droves. They've just all taken their kids out, or they're not rebooking for next year. So now everyone's doing a U-turn and saying, no, we're trying to sell business, we want to keep it together, re-enroll your kids, we're going to sell it as a going concern, we're just trying to stabilise the business, when clearly I think it must be hemorrhaging cash.
It must be very difficult, though, for a parent to want to re-enroll a child in a kindergarten or into a preschool that they aren't terribly sure is going to remain open, that you would have those questions hanging over it.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, and that's why I think the 40%, 400 centres are losing money line was a big mistake in hindsight. They should have just said straight out, we're giving $20 million to keep the business stabilised and going forward, and all centres will stay open, and we plan to sell this as a going concern. So please, all parents, continue to come. Instead, we've had all this rumour and speculation, and the receiver, Chris Honey, was really complaining about all the press reporting and the speculation, and it's causing uncertainty. And one of the staff got up and said, look, you know, please give us some certainty, because the parents are leaving in droves. So clearly a lot of the value, I think, is evaporating before the receiver and the bank's eyes because of just the whole bedlam and chaos of the situation.
And I guess we're not even talking about the numerous staff that work at these places who are constantly wondering, I'd imagine, if they're going to get paid. I mean, there's still questions over those sorts of issues?
Well, look, they are being paid at the moment. The employee claim as an unsecured creditor is $31 million, although that doesn't include any redundancy payouts. And clearly the other people who are claiming are the steward bank holders are looking for $955 million. So they've got the first dibs at it, but staff entitlements do rank ahead of the banks for some of their entitlements. So certainly the staff, all 16,000 of them, are very anxious, and there was a large number of them at the meeting today, and they've obviously got some representatives on the creditors committee. Clearly the game plan is to try and salvage as much as they can and just sell as many centres as they can to new operators.
Given that you're on the committee then, Stephen, do you have any idea of the timeline as to when it may become clearer as to the financial state of the company, who may get paid out, how much they might get, and what might happen in the future?
Well, we didn't get a lot of information either at the meeting or in the quick briefing for the creditors committee afterwards. The receiver, Chris Honey, was keen to stress that they're not actively looking at selling the business now. Now is just about operating the centres and putting all the financial information together. So I think clearly going into December and January, they'll have to make some strategic decisions about trying to sell the lot. The other interesting issue is the fact that the banks, which are owed $955 million, only lodged their charge, their security charge against the assets on June 25 orally and then July 10 in writing. And there's a big question mark as to whether that will stand up. So I think there will be legal challenges trying to knock off the bank charge. And if the banks lose their priority from putting their charge in too late, because normally you have to put a charge in 6 months before a company collapses, then you will see more money available for the unsecured creditors, because the banks would only be treated with lesser priority because their charge would be knocked over. So there's a whole bunch of different dynamics around there. There's other complexities, like the fact that 540 of the centres are actually owned by a separate Australian Education Trust, which is a separate listed vehicle. There's Morgan Stanley threatening to sue. There's Eddie and his wife suing each other. There's all sorts of litigation and threats. It's a very, very colourful situation.
And made even more colourful by the fact that you are now involved as well. Look, speaking of banks, an announcement obviously from the United States today that Citigroup is going to cut 50,000 jobs worldwide, including here in Australia. Put that into some sort of perspective.
Well, the only two other companies in history that I'm aware of, certainly in the US, that have announced job cuts of that size were IBM and Sears Roebuck back in 1993. When they said they were going to get rid of 50,000. So clearly they'll still have 300,000 staff left globally. This is the biggest US bank, so they're going to get rid of, cut from 350,000 to 300,000. And I guess you have to do that when you've been bailed out to the tune of $25 billion by the federal government in the US. You've written off $40 billion US. Your share price has plunged from $32 to $8.89. And what used to be the biggest bank is now only worth $48 billion US dollars. So clearly they've just, you know, the whole financial services sector around the world, there's going to be millions of jobs lost. Everyone's going to have to, tighten their belts. And Citigroup, as the biggest bank and one of the silliest banks in terms of the subprime disaster, this is just a natural reaction from when you've destroyed 80% of the value of your bank.
Yeah, the writing had been on the wall for a long time, obviously. And just back here in Australia, there was an interesting day from Macquarie, who announced a sharp fall in net half-year earnings, I think 43% below the corresponding year period last year. But in response, their share price went up.
Yeah, look, their shares rocketed 16% by $3.40 to $24. Well, look, remember, Lindy, that it peaked at $98 last year. So
yes,
it's fallen a long way. And the percentage increase sounds very big, but it's barely back to where it was 2 or 3 days ago. But the market was clearly fretting that Macquarie was going to, you know, announce a big loss or big write-downs or big job cuts, and they're holding the line. Their profit drop was 43%, but they announced that they've managed to increase their cash reserves, their liquid reserves, from $10 billion to $25.6 billion over the last 12 months. And the good thing about Macquarie is that they do pay the vast majority of those in the millionaire's factory by way of profit share, by way of bonus. So when the profit falls, like it has, so does the bonus pool. So the employees only got paid $1.26 billion in the last 6 months, whereas in the previous corresponding period, they got $2.42 billion. So the pay packets at the millionaire's factory have halved. The share price has fallen, obviously, but the bank is strong. Its competitors have all fallen over, and I think people were pretty relieved today that Macquarie was so strong, and that's why the shares rocketed when the rest of the market was getting crunched again.
Yes, it was getting crunched. It is remarkable, though, isn't it, that you can drop by so much and everybody be happy about that. But in the current climate, it's not that surprising. Stephen, fly carefully.
Thanks, Lindy.
Make sure that the planes aren't being towed anywhere, because there was a small incident at Avalon earlier today with 2 747s.
Yes, hang on to the seat.
Yeah, good man. Bye. Stephen Main, shareholder activist and ABC Learning Creditors Meeting infiltrator, but he's made his way onto that committee, as is his wont to do.